Here's an interesting report that recently came out from J.D. Power. J.D. Powers is the rating system for everything all of a sudden. I don't know. They're the gods of ratings, apparently, and they rate different products and restaurants and airports, apparently. And they have come out with their five worst airports in the country. So that's horrible. The worst airport, these are major airports, by the way. We're not talking about little tiny airports with just prop engines and Cessnas. We're talking about major airports. The worst airport in the country for services, on-time flights, organization, customer service, courtesy, that kind of stuff, how many restaurants and amenities there are for flyers and that kind of thing. The worst airport in the country is LaGuardia Airport in New York City. I've been there. That's true. That airport is like 600 years old. They built that airport before they invented airplanes. It's a nasty location. The runway is rather short for what it is. And if you miss the runway, you're in the water on both sides. It's pretty screwed up. It's like, hold on to your handlebars. We're coming in for a landing kind of airport. And once you land, you just stand there and go, wow, what the hell is this place? The second worst airport in the country is Newark Airport. I've been there too. Confusing, annoying, unhelpful, not a good place to be. And if you walk outside of the airport in Newark, you say to yourself, oh shit, I'm in Newark. That's how bad that is. The third worst airport in the country is Philadelphia. Philadelphia Airport. I don't know if there's a name to it, but it's the airport in Philadelphia. Not good, says J.D. Power. The fourth worst airport in the country, fourth place was a tie between two very prestigious airports, one of which is in my area. The fourth worst airport in the country is tied between Chicago O'Hare and Logan Airport in Boston. Those two are tied for the fourth worst airport. I find this funny. These are very busy airports, by the way. Chicago even more so than Boston, I believe. Although you don't have a lot of international flights out of Chicago, you do out of Boston. Rated fourth lowest in the country. So, you know, that's important stuff. I'm kind of more interested in security. I'd like security ratings on these airports. I think these days we're a little more concerned with that kind of stuff. So congratulations to Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, Newark, and LaGuardia. You all suck. You're all on the suck end of airports. And now for the suck end of talk shows.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
By the way, this show doesn't suck. I'm just doing self-deprecating humor, which is usually quite successful.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah, sure, right.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's this thing.
back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Would you like to take a bath? I would have such a popular talk show if I could just offer everybody a free bath while they're listening to the show. Do you realize that everything sounds good, everything is entertaining in a bathtub? Seriously, it really is. Can you imagine listening to this show while you're soaking in a luxury tub or a tub, depending on which letter you use at the end of that word? If it's a P, it could be tup. But it's meant to say tub. I should really get a job doing something where speaking properly is a requirement. But I didn't, so to speak. Anyway, can you just soak in a tub, man, and listen to this show? You can't go wrong. This could be the worst show in the world. But when you're soaking in a tub and there's bubbles in it and... It's just great. Every part of your body. Did you ever come home from a long day and your body is actually aching and your mind is like about to explode and you fill the bathtub with water and you somehow finagle yourself into this tub and all of a sudden everything changes. Everything's changed. And the whole world changes. Everything's pleasant. Your body stops aching. I mean, it's amazing. And you would think that swimming in a pool would have the same effect. It doesn't, because there's annoying little kids jumping in the pool and yelling Marco Polo and screaming, and that echoes off of what's usually an indoor pool room thing, kind of, you know, it echoes and it's just annoying, and kids running around and screaming. That's not, no. But somehow in your own private bathroom, with the door closed and a nice warm tub with essence of oils in your water, and you just soak yourself. You're self-soaking, and it's quiet. Shh. The only sound you hear in a tub is the breaking of the water, splashing up against the side of the tub, little trickles of water. And it's just so soothing. And you move your elbow a little bit and you hear that little breaking of the wave in the tub. And maybe you have a little bit of gas. And you let that go out of your ass. And it's not a large gas fart kind of thing. It's just a gentle rise of a bubble to the surface, and then it breaks, and it cascade breaks, and there's no large sound. There's just maybe a little bit of a soft bubble effect. Everything is good in a bathtub. Everything. The only thing that's not good in a bathtub is reading. I don't know if reading is conducive to lying in a bathtub, but some people actually do that. I find that to be a little uncomfortable because in the back of my mind, I'm always subconsciously fighting not to get the pages of the book all wet. It's always a struggle. You know, you find your hand slipping a little bit and you're, whoop, whoop, water's getting close to the page. Whoa, no, 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 don't get wet. So reading doesn't really work for me, but meditating does. You get some soft music going and maybe a candle. And you don't care if the candle falls in the tub. The water will put it out. It's okay. It's all right. Everything's all right in a tub. Everything. Not too many people drown in a tub unless you're an infant. In which case, you shouldn't be alone in a tub. But when you're a full-grown adult, you can't drown in a tub. You can hardly sit in a damn thing. You hardly fit. Much less drown in a thing. Even if you fell asleep in a tub, I don't think it's possible. Although statistics will probably show that probably every year 17 people drown in their own tub while taking a bath. I don't know. And then there are a lot of people that just say, wow, taking a bath. I haven't taken a bath in a decade. Not that you smell or anything. You just shower all the time. Showering is an interesting thing. It's like peeing standing up, as far as I'm concerned. You shower because you want to get it done quick. You don't want to sit. You're in a standing position. Why sit down? Why lie down? I'm already standing up. Can't I clean myself in the position that I'm already in? Well, yeah, there's a shower. You can shower yourself. You can make believe you're standing in a rainstorm with soap. It's quick. It's easy. It's not so bad. But it doesn't relax your body like a good bath does. You got to take the time for the bath. The tub has to fill up with water. That takes a little time, and it could increase your water bill just a little bit. Just a bit. But you got to wait. You go into the bathroom, you turn on the faucets on the tub, and then you find something to do for a couple of minutes. Something that won't take too long. A lot of people forget that they're running the tub. While they go off to kill those few minutes, they get involved in what they're doing. The tub overflows, your house floods, your insurance rates go up. That's not relaxing. Got to keep an eye on that tub. And then you get in the tub, and it's just all over. It doesn't matter what's going on. The world is shut off simply because everything but your head is submerged in aqua. Yeah. And then you get out of the tub, you put a towel on you, you try to towel off all your parts. I can't reach all my parts. I'm a tall man. My parts are not reachable. About all I can dry off successfully are my arms. And even then, there's some effort involved. It's very difficult for me to reach my feet. They're like really far. You have to take an elevator to get down to those babies. That's why I don't tie my shoes. I wear Velcro or slip-on, so I can't be bothered. I can't go down there. I can't. How am I going to get up? The feet dry by themselves. I don't give a crap about the feet. The bottom of my legs, they're going to dry by themselves too. I'm not going down there. I don't know what's down there. I haven't been there in weeks. I have no idea what's down there. I cannot dry my back. I can't even touch my back. I'm like a dinosaur when it comes to my back. I can't reach that far. I can't. So I put the towel behind my back and I rub it back and forth, and I assume my back is getting dry. I don't know. I have no idea what my back looks like, by the way. I have no idea. I have no idea. I can't see it in a mirror because I can't turn my head around that far to get that effect in the mirror. There could be a family of Mexicans living on my back. That was a racist comment, I have a feeling, and I didn't mean it that way. I was just trying to pick a community that tends to live on your back, I guess. I don't know what's going on there. Someone could have painted a kick me sign on the back of my body, and I'd never know. I don't know what's going on. It could be a 20-inch mole back there. I'm not aware. I can't see that thing. I can't touch it. I can't see it. So the back just, I can't wash it. I can soak it, but I can't wash it. I can't get to it. I could call an Uber. I don't know what that means. I can't reach all parts of my body. I really can't. I can't. Everything around my crotch area, my ass, my frontal regions, my frontal organs, I can reach those. That's probably just practice. Those I can get. I can get the face pretty good. Can't get the back of the neck too well because the hands, again, don't stretch back there, and I have no idea what it looks like back there. I haven't seen the back of my head since 1927, and I'm not even that old. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break, and while we do that, I think you have time to take a bath. I think you do. And when we come back, we're going to continue this, whatever you call this thing. I'm not sure what you call this.
Wildlife poaching doesn't just happen in faraway places. It's a crime committed against countless wild animals all around you. Poachers don't care about hunting seasons, endangered species, or even the safety of other humans. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, which protects wild animals through habitat preservation and by confronting cruelty, needs your help. Learn your state's wildlife laws, so when you witness a crime against a wild animal, you can report it immediately. Help protect wildlife at wildlifelandtrust.org.
Smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats. You love your new connected technology. And the Consumer Technology Association wants to help you protect the security of your devices. First, don't use default or easy-to-guess passwords. Create unique ones and keep them safe. Next, look for and install security updates from device manufacturers. Also, have an active firewall for your home router. And consider using a professional installer to set up your new devices. Easy tips from the Consumer Technology Association to help keep your devices secure.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Even I find it unbelievable that I spent the first 10 minutes of this show talking about taking a bath. Now, either that is pure genius, or that's pure genius. I guess there's no two ways about it. I try to be different than other talk show. What a terrible thing in our connection with Russia, and I don't know how we're going to handle our overseas problems, and the national debt is... No, not me. No. I talk about taking a bath. That's pure genius. That's pure genius. When you've had enough of the world around you and all the problems and all the conflicts and all the instability, you need some guy to talk about taking a bath for 10 minutes on the radio. Who would do something like that? What type of demented person would do that? Only someone who was a pure genius. And that is myself. And you're welcome, by the way. I'll save you the embarrassment. You're welcome.
Now listen here.
By the way, taking a bath with other people sounds weird, but it's also called a hot tub. I will not go into a hot tub. I have a friend, and he knows who he is. Well, you better know who he is. He really should know who you are. He has a hot tub, and he talks about it, and he loves his hot tub. He can't live without his hot tub. And he constantly invites me over to sit in his hot tub with him. And I just feel very uncomfortable about doing that. Yuck. That's not relaxing to me. That's disgustingly perverted. I don't want to sit in hot, bubbling water with his germs in it and my germs on him. I wouldn't know what to look at or just ugh. 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 Now I avoid going over to his house because I don't want to sit in his hot tub. And he's going to lure me in someday. And I'll say, well, I don't have my bathing trunks to sit in the hot tub. He said, it's okay, just take all your clothes off. Trust me. Well, I don't think so. Tubs are just like bubbling dens of disease, aren't they? Isn't that what they are? It's a little too familiar for me. I feel odd just swimming in a swimming pool with other people. I know that their personal parts are only feet away, and the only thing dividing us is some little piece of nylon or microfiber. I'm not into it, man. No, not into it, man. One of the great memories I have of being a child, and that's it, there was one, was getting in the bathtub. My mother would put me in a bathtub. I didn't shower when I was a child. It was always a bath, and I liked baths as a result. There was a product that, and I don't remember the name of it. Maybe you do, but you're not here to tell me. I think it was called Mr. Bubble. That's what it was. It was Mr. Bubble. It was one of those products where we can't think of a name for it. We'll just put the word Mr. in front of it. There's no way to confuse what the product is if you just take the product and put Mr. in front of it. Mr. Bubble. Guess what it did? It made bubbles. And you would pour Mr. Bubble into the bathtub, and immediately the bubbles would start. It would create a bubble layer on the top of the bathtub water, and it was so much fun. I had bath toys. I had little boats. I would make believe that my body was the pier, and the bathtub water was the marina. And my little boats would, and my penis was one of the boys. And it's, you know what? To this day, my penis is still one of the boys. One of the group in the boys. It's my boy band. My little boy. Okay, never mind. So the boat would be floating around the tub. Are you getting a good picture of this in your mind? The boat would be floating around the tub. And there'd be bubbles all over the place. And I'd be lying there, and I guess my body would start to become an obstacle course for the boats. And it might have been the way, as a young child, that I discovered my own dock, so to speak. But I remember that bubble. It was just, it made me want to be clean. And my mother would say, okay, it's time for the bubble bath. And I would go, oh, yeah, man, that's what it is. That's what it is. It was just me and the boats and the water. And then my mother would come up and she would bathe me because apparently I was too young to do it myself. And it was a great, great time in my life. I remember that. And then I remember getting older. And I remember going to a place in Hyannis, Massachusetts called the International Inn. And it had nothing to do with anything. I don't know why they called it the International Inn, other than the fact that everybody that stayed there didn't seem to be American and couldn't speak English, and I didn't know why. the concept of this place, and I think it's still there, so I have to be rather careful, and it's probably changed ownership, so I guess it's okay. But when I went there decades ago, the draw to this International Inn was every single room in this hotel had its own whirlpool bath. And at the time, I had no whirlpool bath in my home, which most people don't. So this was like exciting. Oh boy, we're going to a hotel where in the room you have your own personal whirlpool bath with the jets in it, and it's stuff. And I took my girl there because I figured this is going to be one night of sex that the world will never forget. The world won't know about it, but it's not going to forget it. And I remember checking in and being there with my girl and saying, well, this is going to be, so we're not leaving the room. This is going to be one hell of a night. And we get into this place. The room is about as scuzzy as a room gets. It looked like they hadn't changed the bedspread since bedspreads were invented. And I think they were invented by Betsy Ross. Betsy Ross made the first flag and the first bedspread pretty much the same day. This bedspread was still on the bed, and all I could think of was all the stuff that's probably on this bedspread from people lying on it and doing stuff. And it was a disgusting looking room. It smelled like you know when you take your pants off and you throw them in the hamper, and then you do your laundry 3 years later. Same smell. But you would go into this bathroom, which wasn't big and it wasn't small, and where the bathtub was this whirlpool bath, which is a little bit bigger than a regular bathtub, certainly big enough for two people, but it had the jets. It had the jets in it. It had the jets. And I looked at the bathtub, and I looked at my girl, and my girl looked at the bathtub. She looked at me, and we said, "This is it. We're doing this. We're doing it." And we spent. In my mind, there was going to be champagne and candlelight and soft music and the whirlpool tub and just. Crazy, crazy positions, positions that the circus couldn't even come up with. The Walendas would say, "How did you do that? How did you achieve that particular position?" They would be astounded. This would be like a circus in my pants. This would be so incredibly creative. I'd be making moves like no one ever had before. Well, we opened up the champagne. We had a couple of sips. And then we looked at each other and said, "Let's hit the whirlpool bath, our private whirlpool in our bathroom. Just you and me and the whirlpool. Let's do the dirty thing in the whirlpool." By the way, if there are kids listening to this program, and there really shouldn't be ever, you might want to go get a bowl of cereal somewhere else, just for a few minutes. I won't be long. So we strip off our clothes very, very slowly. I think it took like 8 seconds. And we got into the whirlpool thing, and it was whirlpooling up and stuff like that. And we sat there with all these illusions of grandeur. And we sat there for about 10 seconds, stared at each other. And the jets are going all over the place. And it's loud. Whirlpool jets are loud. That's like an airplane is passing through the roof of your mouth. It's loud. And we stared at each other. And we stared at each other. And we both stood up, got a towel, dried ourselves off, left the whirlpool tub. The whirlpool experience was no more than 45 seconds. There was no magic. There were no moves. No amazing memories. Got dressed. Left the hotel room. Went for a walk. Sometimes the circus is better in your mind than it is under the tent. Anyway, let's move on. Our guest today is profoundly guest-ridden. I am usually amazed at the technology of our lives. I believe there's way too much technology. As I've said on previous programs, I wish all this technology wasn't here because it wasn't so bad before, really. I think it was a little better, but that's usually a sign of age. But I do have a car that has a lot of technology in it, and I must say that it's fascinating. It's fun. So what are the best cars for technology? What kind of cars are going around here? What kind of technology do we have? Well, there are always new products, and we like to feature them on the program. Now, may I say, I'm not hawking any particular product. It's just interesting about some of the things that have actually been technologically created, especially for your car. Paul Hochman joins us now. He's America's technology reporter, and we're talking about smart technology for your cars and everything. And question is your smart car smarter than you are? And I think it probably is. I know mine is. And that's what we're talking about. Yeah. We're driving computers now, aren't we?
We are. No, by the way, in a lot of ways, it's fantastic, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
Yes, officially, we have crossed the line.
Yes.
All cars are smarter than we are. And the reason is, I mean, by some definitions anyway, and I'm sort of being silly, but it's true, there are literally hundreds of sensors in every modern car, and they are picking up information that you really need to know. They're capturing key data that is going to make a difference in your driving life, whether it's the health of your car, if there's a repair that's going to be needed soon, it'll let you know, as well as all the other stuff that sort of, you know, say for example, turns on and off the automatic windshield wipers when it starts to rain. I mean, that's a nice feature too. Again, all that data, there's no way you could have done that yourself. So yes, they are smarter than you are.
They are, and they're getting smarter to the point where you won't really have to worry about it. If there's a car in front of you, it'll tell you, hey, take it easy, babe, or something like that, or if you're going into the next lane. I mean, yeah, we're on our way to cars that'll drive themselves, I guess.
Oh, yeah, I think well on our way. A lot of people think about autonomous vehicles or cars that drive themselves as a distant sort of Jetsons-like future, but it's already happening. There are lots of cars on the road right now that have lane warning, lane departure warning if you leave your lane, or in some cases they have a cruise control that actually automatically slows the car down if the car senses, using radar or sonar, if the car in front of it is slowed down too. So yeah, there's already things about your vehicle that drive themselves, but there's still a lot of data that you want to gather and understand that actually will help you drive smarter and safer and help you be more connected. And I think that's something important too. You can make these add-ons that don't cost you a zillion bucks. You don't have to get a truly modern 2017 or 2018 car to do it.
Yeah.
For example, Verizon makes a new device called the Hum X. They just rolled it out. And the Hum X actually gathers all that information from the car and the car's safety, car's information, and helps you drive more safely, in part because you know more about your car.
I mean, my car will park itself, so and I get so nervous because I'm figuring, all right, car, like, you're getting really close to that bumper. No! You know, it makes me makes me nervous. I guess that's just a matter of getting used to something.
Yeah, look, I mean, by the way, I don't know if you've flown recently, but probably 90% of your most recent flight was done with a computer, autopilot.
Right.
So, you know, that's actually something we've all grown comfortable with. Maybe we weren't at first. the cool thing about this, but seriously, I mean, the Hum X device doesn't really get to the point where it's actually, you know, driving
right.
you. It doesn't. But
right.
it does give you data that's important. And by the way, here's something else. If you have kids, and you're wondering about their driving safety, and a lot of people do.
Yes.
Hum X actually has, there's an app that comes with the device that goes on your smartphone.
Yes.
And can actually create a driving score to tell you whether or not your kid has good driving habits. the lower the score, the more they have to work on it. And it actually is the great thing about that, this is where technology is actually almost a referee because it's neutral, right? You didn't say, hey, slow down.
Right.
The app told you that they should be slowing down.
Right.
And that's on one side. That's kind of nice, a good, healthy conversation. Hey, kid, let's talk about it. And the other thing is if you're worried about your kid out there driving on their own or they are concerned about their first driving experience, the cool thing about HumX is if you are, you know, you need help, and you can get roadside assistance by tapping one button and talking to a live person. And none of this requires a huge expense. So that's pretty cool.
Okay. Now, this is everything you're talking about, to be clear, it doesn't have to be baked or installed into an automobile. You don't have to wait for 2017, 2018. This is something that you can update yourself.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, in fact, you have to wait until 1996.
Okay.
In other words, almost all vehicles since 1996, excluding electric and a few others, you can plug in what comes with the device. It's called an OBD2 device. It's an onboard diagnostics little dongle. It looks like about the size of a box of matches.
Okay.
And you plug it in underneath the car's dash, and all of the data that is in the car now gets gathered by that and then sent to that app.
Wow.
So the cool thing about that is that, you know, you don't have to worry about, you don't have to have extra smarts. And by the way, there are some other non-data-based pleasures here. For example, HumX lets you stream entertainment up to 10 different devices in the car. So if you have kids in the back, they can all have Wi-Fi connected devices, and they have the ability to look at their entertainment. It's a lot of fun. I mean, there are other advantages. Geofencing. You can know if your teenager's car has left an area, you'd rather they don't leave.
Yes.
So all kinds of benefits accrue. And yes, it's $99 for the device. So you don't have to go buy a $60,000 car to get this to, you know, make this work.
Does it mount? Does it go somewhere physically?
It does. It's on the sun visor in your car. It's a stainless steel device. You put it right on your car's sun visor. The OBD2 thing I mentioned about the size of that matchbook, box of matches, you actually plug in under the dash, but it's very small. But again, you leave that in. You leave the HumX device on the visor as well, and all you need to do is bring your smartphone.
Okay. And must it be placed on the visor?
No, it doesn't have to be placed on the visor. It's built so that it connects easily and seamlessly. And also the nice thing about it is that the mic and the speaker's right over your head if it's on the visor. So it hears you well or whoever you're talking to. Because remember, you can have a phone conversation through it. But you certainly could put it anywhere you want.
Okay. Does it have to be wired to it? In other words, you have to run a wire to the visor?
No. It has a battery that lasts about a month on average. Look, you know, I like to mount it on my lapel. But no, the point is that it's wireless. It's got Bluetooth connectivity. So it's very, very handy.
Interesting. Where is this available?
You go to your local Verizon Wireless retail store. They have them now. And if you want to find out more about it, go to hum.com. Hum like humming a song, H-U-M.
Right.
But basically, it's you know, there's all that information is right there. But again, I think the thing that's most exciting about this is it's a very low cost way to get very high end features, and feel like you're driving safer, you're driving smarter. You know, again, you're more connected. Your kids are now connected. I think it's a very cool development.
Yeah. I didn't used to think that $99 would be a drop in the bucket, but these days it kind of is for something like that, which is kind of amazing that
Look at the features. The features that a lot of car companies make huge profits on are things like navigation systems and the like. And you know that makes sense, but you can often spend $300, $400, $500, $700, right, for an add-on. Like there are sometimes over $1,000for some of these features that are now in a device of $99. Okay. You're right. I think we've changed our perspective. Right. $99 is not a small amount of money, but it's certainly not what it costs to get that kind of feature in a car.
Right. And it has nothing to do with Verizon as a carrier. In other words, as a cell phone carrier, you don't have to have Verizon cell phone carrier in order to get this unit going.
That is correct. You can spend. You would have to go to the Verizon Wireless store to get the device because Verizon is the one that distributes it.
Right.
But you get that device, and you can have any carrier, and lo and behold, it will work. You'll have to pay a monthly, whatever monthly fee. But the point is that your device is $99.
Very cool. Hey, I didn't know this. I've learned something today from you.
Well, big mistake. Don't listen to me.
Well, we just may, though. You never know. Paul, it's
No. I'm excited to bring this because I think it's a very cool development. A lot of people are excited about these kinds of features, yeah. but they probably didn't know it comes in a device that's this compact and this supportable.
It is good. It is good. And it is a win-win kind of deal. Hey, Paul, thanks for your time today. Interesting stuff. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today, quite obviously. There's no arguing that point. And that'll do it for you as well. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope you join me then. Until then, I wish you peace.